This is May the 17th, 2009, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. We're in the 11 o'clock service. And seeing the multitudes. And seeing the multitudes. I want you to pay attention. I want you to be very reverent in the house of the Lord. Don't make me stop and lose my train of thought while I'm trying to preach and minister to the Word, or the Word of God to you. Don't make me be ugly. I don't like to be ugly. I like to be sweet, kind, nice. That's my natural way. To be kind, compassionate, and loving. It's hard for me to be mean and ugly. I hope that's the way I'm getting to be anyway. As the Lord deals with me and grows me in His grace, I hope that I am more compassionate, more patient, and more loving. I don't have a lot of patience for folks that are not reverent. When a man of God's minister is before the pulpit to declare His word, not so much for myself, but for the word's sake, for God's sake, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for your sake, those who are here to hear and to listen, and also to teach the one that might be unreverent. Never should it be out of anger or hate. Should always be out of a great love and compassion when you correct anyone, be it adult, child, or anybody else. If they don't feel like you're correcting them out of a love for them, you've not done any good. You may have prevented certain things from happening in your presence again, but you've not really helped the situation. So let's make sure that our corrections are always done with great love. And that's not part of and seeing the multitudes, but if you'll turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter, we will read about and seeing the multitudes. The great evangelist Matthew, who was once a publican, once a toll collector, you might call him, who was called by the Lord Jesus Christ and wrote the first gospel, or the first one that we have record of, and the first one in the New Testament, Matthew, who you can tell from the way that he wrote the first gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he loved the Lord very much, and he loved his people very much, the Jews. And so he was the one that penned this portion of the sacred scriptures and was at first by profession a publican, and now he is a born-again believer, a follower of Christ, and one of the apostles. He was one of those that Jesus said unto him as he sat at the table there collecting tolls, "Matthew, won't you please follow me, Matthew? Please, I'm begging you to come." And that's not the rendition I remember reading. I remember Jesus seeing Matthew and saying, "Matthew, follow me!" And he got up and he left his table and he followed Christ and his disciples. Like all persons, all believers, all those that are called by the grace of God and by His wonderful mercy, He calls them. They get up and follow Him. and so does Matthew. And in the first chapter of this Gospel of Matthew, Matthew tells about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and His genealogy. In the second chapter, he tells about His holiness or His dignity as a star leads the wise men to where the Lord Jesus was born or was then laying or then where He was. He was presented as a king, and certainly He was and is a king because they brought Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the Bible says. And then in the third chapter, the evangelist records His baptism of John the Baptist where He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And then in the fourth chapter, His temptations of the devil being carried out into the wilderness. And then in the fifth chapter, Jesus says, or Matthew says, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying." Our God, we thank Thee for Your Word this morning. Oh, what a blessed and a precious honor it is, our God, to be able to hold the written Word of the living God in our hands and to be able to read it. What precious treasures they are in every word and in every line. What precious veins of gold lies in every part and in every line of the Scriptures. Lord, for us to be able to dig for them, for us to be able to separate them as You open our eyes and You increase our learning and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, as we work to search the Scriptures and to find those things that are wonderful and marvelous to our souls, that we may be fed. Lord, we may grow thereby. These wonderful words that lead us unto our Savior, convict us of our sin. What a glorious thing it is indeed, our God, for us to be able to read and then to share, to glean from the marvelous things of Thy Word. Have mercy upon us now this morning. Pray, O God, that You might help Your servant. Lord, as he labors in the Scriptures, to feed Your sheep, to feed Your lambs, and to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior to those that might be lost. Have mercy, I pray. Help us keep our minds focused and help the hearers, Lord, that You may open their ears, that they may hear the truth of Thy Word. Lord, that they may have an ear for hearing. They may want to hear. And Lord, that they hear for no other purpose but to worship Thee and to hear Thy words proclaimed. Help us, Lord, I pray. Change our hearts. Change us, O God. Draw us nigh unto Thee and cause us to love Thee with a great love. Break our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There are four things out of this that we want to look at. We may not get to, probably we'll only get to the first one this morning. We'll have a series of these messages on the Beatitudes or on the Sermon on the Mount. Wonderful, wonderful treasures lie within the words of Jesus. The Lord going up into the mount to preach to these people. You remember where the law of God was given? It was given in a mountain. And now His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, goes into a mountain to expound upon that very law that was given in the mountain. Now, they were on Mount Sinai when the law was given. Jesus is probably in Mount Tabor here to address these people because there was a great multitude and they desired to hear Christ speak. They desired to hear Him teach, and they followed Him, and He certainly begins to teach them. He is the preacher, Jesus Christ. He was the best of preachers because He went up to preach to these people, and seeing the multitudes, He went up. He was a preacher, and He went up to do the very thing that He was called to do, to preach the gospel. There were many virtues of Christ, many wonderful things about Christ, the beauties of Him, of the excellency of His knowledge that He had to preach, of the grace of God that was upon Him. The Bible says that He had the Spirit of God without measure. He was the best of preachers. Every word, the Bible says in the Psalms, that His lips were as a honeycomb. Yea, they were even dripping like a honeycomb drips with sweet and wonderful words of Christ. He had great works, great miracles, and He was a pattern for other ministers to follow in this very sermon that He preaches on this mountain. He is an example for other preachers. In His death, He was a sacrifice in how that men ought to live their lives, especially ministers of the gospel. He set an example for us, how that we ought to live and how we ought to be ready to die for the gospel's sake, and to be obedient to our Father, to be obedient to our God. He was in every way qualified for the work of the ministry because He went up into the mountain and He taught. And He was called of God. He was an intelligent preacher. Why? Because He knew all things. He knew the hearts of His people. We barely know the faces of the people that we preach to, but Jesus knew the very hearts of the people that He was preaching to, and upon His choice, and upon His liking, He would break a man's heart so that he could hear what he was preaching. He was an intelligent preacher. Upon His desire and upon His will, He could cause a stony heart to be crushed and crumbled and fall at His feet in conviction of their sin. And at His very will, the Lord Jesus could sound the trumpet, and even His enemies would come to Him to follow Him and to hear His word preached. Because you and I were enemies at one time. And when He called us, what do? We come and surrendered before the mighty King to hear His wonderful words preached. He was an intelligent preacher. He was a powerful preacher. He spake with authority, Matthew the 7th chapter says, in the last verse of that chapter, says He spoke as one that had authority, because He did have authority from His Father to preach the gospel and to preach the truth. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He told the Samaritan woman of all the things that she had ever done. And when she come in John the 4th chapter, she came and told the people of the town and says, He told me, I found a man that has told me everything that I've ever done. Verse 28, chapter 4 says, and all they in the synagogue, when they... Oh, I'm in the wrong book. I knew something didn't look right there. There we go. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with a woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? She was a Samaritan woman. Jesus was called unto the Jews to preach unto them, but here was this Samaritan woman at the well. And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? He was a powerful preacher. He preached to this Samaritan woman and told her all the things that she had done in such a way that she left her water pots and she ran back to the city of Samaria and told them, come and see a man who's told me all that I'd ever done. Oh, that Christ might tell us today all that we'd ever done. May He help us to see our own selves and how we are and what we are and who and what He is. As I minister today, as I preach the gospel today, it is only the Spirit of God and Christ Himself that can penetrate your soul and cause you to see what you've done. I mean, people can live their whole lives and never see what they've done. Don't care what kind of beautiful mirror they may be looking into and how it may be surrounded with the most beautiful frame. The best mirror is that mirror that causes you to see the truth when you look into it. When you look into the Word of God and read those words and see that that woman and see what she saw, that the Lord Jesus told her all that I'd done, told me of everything that I've ever done. He was a powerful preacher. The Lord Jesus was a powerful preacher, still is. In the 7th chapter of John, the Lord Jesus was preaching during this last day of the feast, and the Sanhedrin had sent men to catch Jesus in His words. And many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet, verse 40. And others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Like Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers of the chief priest and the Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? And the officer said, never man spake like this man. He was a powerful preacher. And those men were sent to take him. They were sent to bring Jesus back, to catch him in his words. And they couldn't. All they could say when they come back was, when they asked him, why have you not brought him? Never a man spake like this man. The Lord Jesus was a powerful preacher. He was a successful preacher. In John the 10th chapter, it says that many believed on him. Many of the chief rulers believed on him. In John the 12th chapter, in Psalm 45, it said that his lips were graced and that you could pour grace into the hearts of his hearers, the Lord Jesus could, because of the way that he spoke. He was a very successful preacher, and because that he came to save souls, and so he did. None would dare turn from him when he called them and said, follow me. They would follow Christ, and they did it at his beckoning. He was a lawful preacher in that he came being commissioned by his Father to come. John 8 and 18, he says, beginning at verse 12, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I don't think we think about that very often, what Jesus was. Not only was he a powerful preacher, he was a successful preacher in that he was the light of the world. Anytime you preach to people and cause them to see the Word of God and cause them to see themselves and who the Lord Jesus Christ is, you're successful, and the Lord Jesus Christ was the light of the world. He would cause people to see themselves, see their sin, see Him, see God, who they were and who God was. He was a very successful preacher. He was the light of the world. And the Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And Jesus answered and said to them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. He was a lawful preacher in that he was sent by his Father. There's many preachers today that have not been sent by the Father. They're lying preachers, and they're false preachers, and they're false prophets, and they're not teaching the Word of God. They're not feeding God's sheep. They're in it for the filthy looker's sake, and they're in it for pride's sake. They're in it because they want to feel like they're leading people. They've not been sent. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. He was a lawful preacher, the Lord Jesus was. He was lawful in every way. He had all perfections in him. And all that he did and all that he said, he would have never entered into the work of the ministry had he not been sent by his Father God. And all preachers must be sent. Hebrews the 5th chapter, the 4th verse. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. No man can take the call of the ministry upon himself. He may try to stand in the shoes of a minister. He may go to school and want to be a minister. But you better not take this office upon yourself. It's different than common lay people. Being called by God to be a minister is a calling upon your life, and you can't do anything but minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor could the Lord Jesus. He was sent by his Father to preach the gospel. And so he did. You can read over and over again in the gospels where Christ preached. Christ preached. And Christ went to preach. There is a difference. Everybody can't be preachers. Everybody's not called to be a preacher. If everybody were pastors, what would the church be? Who would feed the lambs? Who would feed the sheep if we were all pastors? And they are a sect of people today who says there are no pastors today. There are no preachers today. We just all come and everybody speaks. What stupidity. What ignorance. Show me that in the Scriptures. Where do they get such a thing? Certainly not in the Scriptures. It's idiocy. We'll look at a few of these things. Jesus told the preachers and the teachers that were ordained in an ordinary way in Ephesians 4 and 11, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, he told them in Matthew 28 and 20, that there is a difference between preachers or ministers of the gospel than ordinary church members. And the reason that there is because God called them to do what? Feed my sheep and feed my lambs, he said. There's a difference. Feed the flock of God which is among you in 1 Peter 5 and 2. Say, preacher, why are you telling us all about this? I'm showing you what kind of preacher that Jesus was, and that he was also setting an example for those that would follow in his footsteps and be called to be ministers, so that you'll know the difference. The man of God feeds his sheep. God's sheep. They're not my sheep. They're not my lambs. They're not my flock. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. But He's called ministers to feed them. In 1 Peter 5, He says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begot loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. But this we know." I'm in the wrong book. These little thin pages and little words, too many on one page. 1 Peter. There we go. "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock." You tell me there's not a difference in the minister of the gospel, in bishops, pastors, and elders. They are to be leaders of God's people. They are to live examples and be examples before God's people. Walk as they ought to walk. They ought to live as the sheep and the lambs ought to live, and they are to feed them. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Sure, they are supposed to be pastors in a church, elders or bishops, whichever you want to call them. They're all the same. But they are to take the oversight of the church. What does that mean? I'm to watch out for you. God put a special blessing upon, a special anointing upon the minister of God that He's called to watch out for His sheep. And He also put a special anointing upon him so that he might rightly divide the word of truth. And he'll spend his time studying the Scriptures so that he can rightly divide the word of truth. That's what Paul told Timothy. He didn't tell all the members of the church. He told Timothy, the preacher of the gospel. "Study the word to show thyself approved." 1 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." Because you've got to feed the sheep. You've got to feed the lambs. And you've got to watch over them, taking the oversight to be sure that no false teacher comes in and teaches them false heresies. And now you tell me how a preacher can do that in 2 or 3 years. The average stay of a Baptist preacher today is 2 years, maybe 3. Can't keep up with it. You tell me how a man could come in and get to know a flock and love them in such a way that he can protect them, teach them, love them in 2 year period of time. Those of you who've been married 20 years and more, you know it takes a long time to get to know somebody. You finally get to know them, but it takes a long time. Pastors, bishops, elders are called by God to be overseers of the church, to be teachers, to be preachers of the gospel. What if all the flock of God were to be pastors? Who would lead? Who would follow? Just not meant to be. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. First Timothy chapter 4. God has cut out the minister for His work. And that's what he ought to spend his time doing. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's begin reading. This is Paul's epistle to Timothy at verse 12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." What am I supposed to do? What are ministers of the gospel supposed to do? be examples. Let no man despise thy youth. Now, Timothy was a young man, but he was in no way a novice. A novice is one who's been recently called. A novice is one who's been just been called or received into. That's a novice. Not necessarily a young person. Timothy was a young person, but he had been in under the preaching of godly ministers for many years. And from his youth, from the time he was a boy, he was brought up in the Scriptures by his mother, Eunice, or Lois, and his grandmother, Eunice. May have that backwards. Can't keep them separated. Eunice and Lois, his grandmother and his mother. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Surely, he has separated for pastors, for elders, for ministers of the gospel, them for a special work, and they are called into this work. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. There's another place where Paul says that he laid his hands himself upon him. Now, I don't think that that's required for pastors. Timothy was not a pastor. He was an evangelist. He was a minister of the gospel, and he was an evangelist, and the hand laying on was laid on by the apostles. Presbytery means elders. Now we know, we just read that Peter is an elder. He considered himself an elder. Paul considered himself an elder. He's a minister of the gospel. He was a preacher. And so these apostles, his gift that was given to him to preach the gospel was given to him by prophecy. It was prophesied by prophet that Timothy would preach the gospel or would have this special gift. And also they laid their hands on him, but it was after that he was ordained or called that they laid their hands on him. There was nothing in the laying on of the hands unless it was by the apostles themselves. If you go back and read all of, and I'm not going to get off and chase this rabbit too far here, but if you go back and read all the times where the laying on of hands was, it was usually a stretching forth of the hands, pointing to someone, or it was the apostles themselves laying their hands on. You remember the Holy Ghost in the early church was only given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. You remember when Philip went and preached down at, was it Samaria? Samaria, I believe Philip went and preached, and none of them had received the Holy Ghost, but they had been baptized. And what did Philip do? He sent for the apostles. He sent for Peter. Go get them. And they came down. And when they got there and they laid their hands on them, then they received the Holy Ghost. So it was only by the laying on the hands of the apostles. And after the apostles were gone, that particular ordinance was gone. And I don't think it's anymore. You don't find anywhere in the Scriptures it says for common men, preachers included, to lay their hands on people to impart any kind of gift or do any kind of prophecy or anything like that. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Let's go back now. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Well, I bet that makes some people spit when they read that. There are people today that don't believe in or like doctrine. How foolish. I mean, that's like people that say, I don't believe in predestination. Well, idiot, read the Scriptures. What do you mean you don't believe in predestination? It's all in the Scriptures. You're going to read the Scriptures and then say, I don't believe? Well, you're right, you don't. You sure don't. Doctrine is instructions. Till I come, Paul says to Timothy, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, or be wholly in them. In other words, spend your time in the Scriptures, in the doctrine, in exhorting them, in reading the Scriptures, and meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, or be wholly in them, in reading the Scriptures, and studying them, and meditating on them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself, and them that hear thee. Jesus was a great preacher, and he was a great example to preachers and other ministers of the gospel. Anybody that tries to take on this office that's not been called by God is a thief. He's stealing from God's people because he cannot feed them. He cannot study and rightly divide the Scriptures so that he feeds them the Word of God. He only tickles their ears, and he tries to entertain them, and he tells a stupid little joke, and he tells a sad story, and he does all kind of stupid things, but he can't feed the flock of God. They need food. They need meat, and babes that are in Christ need the sincere milk of the Word of God. They need something to grow by. They need nourishment. And that only comes from the Holy Word of God as it is opened up to the ministers of God to feed the sheep and to feed the lambs. The only people that could touch the Ark of the Covenant were the priest. And none may touch the temple of this office but those that are so called by the Lord Jesus Christ into this ministry. Romans the 10th chapter. We're about to close here. Romans the 10th chapter. One more place, I think. Romans chapter 10. And let's start reading. He's, of course, telling them about salvation here. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's not a formula, folks. Lying Baptist preachers that are too stupid to see the truth. That's not a formula for salvation. And I'm not just picking on the Baptist preachers, Methodist, Pentecostal, Episcopalian, any other kind that's not preaching the truth of God's Word, and some idiot standing behind the pulpit that's not called to be a minister of the gospel and is not feeding the sheep of God, nor the lambs. That's not a formula for salvation. That's telling you what happens when a man is saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's not a formula. That's telling you what happens when a man is saved. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Meaning he is going to confess and profess, not just one time. Every day. All the time. When he opens his mouth. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, trusted, loved? The word believed. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be gifted? How shall they preach except they be educated? How shall they preach except they be laid on hands by the local association? Doesn't say any of that, does it? What did it say? How shall they preach except they be sent? And there's only one. What did Jesus say? I have been sent by my Father. Except the Father sends you, you can't go. There must be a true calling of God. The true gift of preaching given to a minister in such a way that when he reads and studies the Scriptures, God imparts to him the truth of His Word so that he can feed his lambs and feed his sheep. And in such a way that when he preaches the gospel, that he'll open men's hearts. Not the preacher. God through the preacher preaching, because Paul said it's through the foolishness of preaching that God saves His people. And not everybody's a preacher. Jeremiah the 23rd chapter and Ezekiel the 33rd chapter are examples, and I'll close with these. Jeremiah 23. And Ezekiel 33. We'll start reading. We don't have time to read all this. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name. For Baal, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? The chaff is light. It blows away. It's what you feed hogs. The children need meat. They need sustenance. And they let those preachers that dream dreams tell their dreams. But you preachers that are called and sent by me, you preach my word faithfully. You give them wheat. You give them something that has got nutrition in it. That hog just needs something to feel his gut. But we don't feed hogs. We're feeding sheep and lambs. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, to do and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Jesus was a successful preacher because he was the light of the world and he fed his people. And he set an example for his preachers. We'll stop there for today. We'll take up there in Ezekiel 33, next Lord's Day, where the people come. The Lord said, the people come. They sit and hear, but they don't hear. And then they don't do what they've heard. They're just coming. So if you think it's doing you any good just to come to church, and you hear the word, but then you don't do the word, you're deceiving your own selves. Don't deceive your own selves. Brother Randy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us as we dismiss today?